Mr. President, I have Dr. Kissinger for you. There you are.
In the event that we have to go bilaterally.
Yes, Mr. President.
The question that is raised is what then happens to the aid programs for South Vietnam?
That's right.
And I think what will happen is that the Congress then will
cut them off.
Cut them off. And
I think we've made that clear to them.
Well, be sure Bunker makes it clear again.
Well, what we thought, Mr. President, is we would draft a message from you to Chu saying, you see, what they've done here, I don't want to plague you with it. They have collected every comment they've ever made. We are just now vetting it.
Yeah.
And put it into an endless memorandum. Some we have already accepted. Some are irrelevant because the text has changed completely. One or two we can accept, but we've reached now a point where the accumulation of their proposals scuttles the agreement. What we should do is send a message to them from you, reciting all the changes we've already made.
Right.
And saying, we can only conclude that this latest message sent to us 24 hours before would have the objective consequence of scuttling the agreement. It's no longer a negotiation.
And that's not acceptable.
And that we cannot accept. That secondly, having sent Haig three times, me twice, Bunker always available at four letters, you see no need to receive any emissary.
No.
Fully understand their position. You've read every memorandum and every letter. You have personally drafted the letters.
And that we're going to, it takes two to make a deal, and there must be give and take on both sides, that I'm convinced that the agreement, as modified, and as we will modify it as a good one, we can make it better, but we cannot scuttle it, and I will not do it.
And if we don't give them some shock,
yeah,
this is just going to go on and on.
But that under the circumstances that I don't want it to come to the point where we have an open break about this, but we have to remember that I cannot, with the makeup of the new Congress, I could say, with the makeup of the new Congress, there is, if we do not now go forward and get the agreement, and that then the responsibility for not getting it will fall upon him, and that the programs of assistance, military and economic, have not one chance of getting through the Congress. Period.
That's right. That's right.
Lay it right out there.
I think we have to.
Make it tough.
We have no choice, Mr.
Make it tough. That's right. We'll see. They're bargainers. They're bargainers,
oh, yes,
just like this North, and we'll see what they come up with.
Exactly.
And frankly, I'm thinking it all over more. Suppose we do just go forward without him, we can, then by God, we will blame him.
But it's too bad.
The record and so forth is small, frankly, small solace in the event
of course
that North Vietnam, South Vietnam goes down. We don't want it to. You see, that's the thing that bothers me about the whole thing. I don't want to be right on the record. What I want to do is to be right on what we achieve.
Well, what worries me, Mr. President, is that these guys are talking themselves into such a frame of mind where they may not be able to handle the agreement when it does come, even if they do agree to it.
Hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, if they conducted themselves aggressively, confidently, and positively, they would come out as the victors in this agreement. I've had the CIA prepare a control map of South Vietnam as it stands today.
I'd put that in there.
And I must tell you, it is absurd. 95% belongs to the GVN. We can't even find,
yeah,
in most areas any North Vietnamese.
And there'll be less if they conduct themselves aggressively, but okay, layer right out there. We're going to play the game hard now. He just acts as if the election has not been held, doesn't he?
He acts as if the election had not been held, and
as if he had a bargaining position.
That's right.
Okay.
Right,
where's it going to be?